Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., where I have a question for you. You know, I have to ask you. You know, this is the program where, from the very beginning, we've addressed local, state, national, and international matters. This is the program where we believe in building the community on the local, state, national, and international levels. It's been that way since the beginning, 2005, when we started. So I have to ask this question of you now. I'm just reminding you, we have this reach. I'm just reminding you, we have this reach. It's not just about the local. You know, we talk about the international matters because, as I've said to you a number of times before, we look at decisions that are made in America and how they sometimes impact countries around the world. We look at decisions that are made in other parts of the world and how they may impact a number of other nations of the globe, including America the Beautiful. We talk about situations that occur in America, and we can see some of the same things going on in other parts of the world, like, just as one example, income inequality, which, again, is not a problem unique to America. This is going on all around the world. We have income inequality. We have people with college degrees having an increasingly difficult time to get good jobs. We have pay going down, relatively speaking, particularly with regards to its relation, the pay's relation to the cost of living, which goes high, higher and ever higher. And incomes are not allowed to keep pace. Yet we have more and more and more and more millionaires and billionaires showing up. Is that a phenomenon occurring just in America? Nope. As I've said before, that's happening all around the world. And on, we look at relations. What similar situations are occurring in the various nations of the world, whether developed or undeveloped, or developing? Is there some message, some lesson to be learned by becoming aware of the similarity of events taking place around the world? Yep, we definitely like to create that environment where we can really analyze and think through, think critically, think with each other, think along with each other, motivate each other to think through and try to develop some conclusions, try to develop some greater understanding of what's going on in our one world. What is going on in this world in which we live? So, that said, in fact, it's part of the reason that we've had so many guests come on the program to talk about a variety of topics, whether it has to do with climate change, whether it has to do with political relations between nations that may be at odds with each other, maybe at war with each other, you name it. Okay, so that said, I've got to ask you, what do you think about the outcome of the vote that just took place in Europe? Britain / the UK. I think there may have been one member, Scotland, of the UK, who voted overwhelmingly against the UK exiting the European Union. But the majority of the countries of the UK said, you know what, we want out. And since the majority voted to leave, the UK is now officially no longer a part of the European Union. Generally, I'm asking, what are your thoughts? And I'm asking that in a general sense, first of all, you know, initially, because I just want you to just kind of brainstorm and just let your mind just kind of go free. And you just kind of entertain whatever thoughts come to your mind about possible outcomes of the UK's exit from the European Union. Still in Europe. They're not going anywhere geographically. They're still in Europe, but they're no longer part of the Union of European Nations. The European Union. What are your thoughts? You think this is mostly good? You think this is mostly bad? The UK has voted to leave the European Union. Britain is out. Will the world, all the nations, think about the many nations that they trade with? Because as intriguing as it is, as sometimes complicated as it is, as sometimes simple as it is, one of the reasons that nations make money is because they trade with other nations. And remember now, you go to the 18th, 19th chapters of Revelation. They talk about this place called Babylon that is going to be destroyed at the end of the Great Tribulation as the Lord Jesus prepares to return to this earth to set up his kingdom, his visible kingdom, where it will be known by all that he is in charge. Just before that happens, the place called Babylon, and not just the buildings, not just the land, but the people there. The place called Babylon. Babylon is going to be destroyed. And the Bible talks about how so many people, says that they're in ships looking on. But I guarantee you it'll be on the news too. Folks all over the world will see it. Babylon in flames. And the business owners and their marketing executives, their sales forces are going to be seeing Babylon up in flames, and they're going to be asking the question, who's going to buy our goods now? Who is going to buy our goods now? We're not at that point. We're headed in that direction, but here's the point that we are at. Globalization is part of the reason that so many countries have the money that they have. Trade. We buy each other's goods. We pay for each other's services. Britain was once a part of the European Union. As of yesterday, no longer. How do you view that? Because I guess one of the positions we can also take is this. There was a time when there was no such thing as the European Union. So Britain wasn't a part of the European Union then because there was no European Union. Was Britain able to buy and sell, to trade, do business with other nations then? That, with that in mind, do you think that there's a possibility that maybe on a short-term basis, the world will take a hit because of this exit, this Brexit, Britain having exited from the European Union? Do you think that the world will take a hit economically in the early stages of this exit, this Brexit? But then as the European Union makes adjustments to Britain no longer being a part of the Union, and the rest of the world, including the United States of America, makes adjustments to having Britain still in Europe but no longer part of the Union, do you think that we'll take a hit, but it'll only be a short-term hit? Whether short-term means 5 years, 3 years, 8 years, 2 years? Do you think that This is just going to be a matter of Europe, first and foremost, figuring out how they're going to redo the laws, their regulatory laws, their trade laws, their import-export laws. And then once they've gotten things kind of settled, the rest of the world can then look on and say, okay, so this is the way we do business now. I mean, you're looking at intellectual property law. You're looking at trade law. You're looking at travel law. What kind of passport might be needed? What kind of legal documents might be needed getting into and out of Britain? Something very different than will be needed for the European Union with all of its member nations? Will we see that a hit will be absorbed by all, and it'll be a long-term hit? It'll last maybe 15 years, 30 years. How will things go for American investment companies? What kinds of changes will they have to make? Will corporate executives, whether they're with investment firms, banking firms, manufacturing firms, wherever, will they need to change the way they set up shop with regards to how they build relations, business relations in Europe? Will they need to do business one way with Britain and a whole different way with European Union member nations? Or will it be basically the same? How do you think it will turn out, ladies and gentlemen? Another question that I'm curious about has to do with, I guess you could say, the psychological impact. And when I say the psychological impact, I'm looking at two things. I'm looking at short term, or rather the short reach, and I'm looking at the long reach. The short reach that I'm referring to has to do with Europe itself. The UK has left, Britain has left the European Union. Again, they're still on European soil. Geographically, they're going nowhere. They're staying physically right where they are, but they're no longer a member of the European Union. How would that impact a lot of the nations, a lot of the citizens and business leaders and political leaders and even religious leaders of those remaining member nations of the European Union? Will they be upset with Britain for having decided to sever their ties with them and no longer be a member of their club, a member of their union? Will they take this personally as a rejection of all of them and respond negatively to Britain as a result? Will we eventually see where members of the European Union who are still there begin to resent Britons from even coming to their countries to visit, much less to do business? Or will they say, hey, look, we understand. You had a decision to make. You made it. It's over and done with. Let's move on. That's what I'm looking at as the short reach, what's happening right there in Europe. The long reach, I'm looking at what's happening around the rest of the world. How will the rest of the world perceive Britain? And will they embrace Britain? Will they reject Britain? Will they reject Britain for a while, but over time, get over any feelings of angst, anger, irritation, whatever, and eventually receive Britain fully back into the fold?